Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Morning to all of you out there on your morning commute. This is Radio Free Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt here with Lady Liberty. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, everyone. So nice to be here again this morning.
Yeah, we are cranking it out on KTW out of Spokane on 96.5 FM and AM 630, as well as our live stream. Welcome all of you guys, and thank you guys for helping to spread the word about Radio Free Redoubt and the morning commute. And thank you guys for just what a blessing it is to get all the positive, really, really positive feedback. Just unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. The emails we're getting are really much appreciated and very supportive. So
yeah, we only had one person get all spun up and wrapped around the axle because we were recommending one of the candidates was a female because there was no real Christian man willing to stand up in that gap. So a woman said, I will gladly heed the call and step up if no one else will.
That's right, and thank goodness.
So yeah. So, but somebody got really bent out of shape over that. I will not be listening to you anymore if you're a... I can't remember what they were saying. But anyway, that's okay.
Yeah.
So I kind of... I don't know. Sometimes I just want to just really have fun with some of that. But you just got to let it go because, well, it's the right thing to do.
That's right.
But anyway, so hey, we are driving forward with the mission. We are on mission. We want to advance the cause of liberty. We want to shed light of truth on lies. We want to edify and encourage the believers out there, spread the gospel when we get a chance. And for those who are willing to listen, time is short. So we definitely are calling the church to repent who need it and those who are lost to repent. We always want to start the day off with a word of the day. Yesterday was Psalm 92, 1 through 5. A great one.
That's right. Yep.
And we've got a different one this morning, which I've not even seen yet. So, Lady Liberty, what has the Lord revealed to you?
Okay. For Tuesday, we've got the word of the day from John chapter 6, verse 35, which reads, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So another short and sweet one.
Oh, I like that. Bread of life. Okay, so bread and water. So let's see. Eternal life? I'm just typing some quick little notes here. So right. Good deal. All right. Thank you for that. That's very good. Very good. We've got some things that we are following very, very closely here across the country. We want to bring, well, several things to you. I didn't even get to finish my thoughts on the Second Amendment yesterday. I don't know if we really even need to, but...
Yeah, we pretty much ran out of time just right up there at the end.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, what we normally do, but there's, you know, something I want to address because one of the arguments about that Second Amendment, before we go on to the Third Amendment this morning...
Right.
...is that one of the arguments is that people overlook, they overlook the part that says militias are necessary for the security of a free state. They truly are. And, but the other part of that is that, well, yeah, you have to have a militia, but it has to be well regulated, like the National Guard. But that's not what they meant. We can begin to deduce what well-regulated meant from Alexander Hamilton's words when these guys were discussing this. Remember, we want to go back to the original intent. What did they mean by this when they said well-regulated? Does that mean they have to have lots of regulations, lots of rules, and under the control of the government? Well that works great unless the government becomes the enemy and they're the ones that are tyrannous and they're using this well-regulated National Guard, right, as the militia, what are the citizens supposed to do? It's not logical that was the intent of the Founding Fathers, was for the government to have full control of the militia.
Right.
Now, they do have to fall under a chain of command, no doubt. But this is what Alexander Hamilton said in Federalist Paper number 29. The project of disciplining all the militia of the United States is as futile as it would be injurious if it were capable of being carried into execution. A tolerable expertness in military movements is a business that requires time and practice. It is not a day or a week nor even a month that will suffice for the attainment of it. To oblige the great body of the yeomanry and the other classes of the citizens to be under arms for the purpose of going through military exercises and evolutions as often as might be necessary to acquire the degree of perfection which would entitle them to the character of a well-regulated militia would be a real grievance to the people and a serious public inconvenience and loss. So he indicates a well-regulated militia is a state of preparedness obtained after vigorous, rigorous, and persistent training. Note the use of disciplining, which indicates discipline could be synonymous with well-trained. So they're supposed to be well-trained. And then also from the journals of the Continental Congress, from 1774 to 1789, conveys the meaning of well-regulated. So get this. Resolved that this appointment be conferred on experienced and vigilant general officers who are acquainted with whatever relates to the general economy, maneuvers, and discipline of a well-regulated army. So.
Right, and I mean, that's a very good point, too, because that's exactly what we're seeing with the opposition right now, is they are, yeah, they're fairly organized. I mean, I definitely wouldn't say they're well-disciplined.
Right.
You know, that would never come to mind in referring to our current situation. Right. But yeah, there is very good reason for
in
all
their
of
case,
that.
So. Yeah, exactly. In all their cases, well-regulated means well-trained. You're supposed to be trained up.
Right.
And, you know, it doesn't mean that you are, you know, under the regulations of a National Guard under the control of the government. It was clearly supposed to be, you know, under the control of, well, at the beginning of our country, those were under the control of committees of correspondence, citizens that were, you know, chosen representatives of the people there in the communities.
Right. And so maybe you could elaborate on the fact that there's the state-regulated militia and then there are other militias. How would you describe the other militias that exist today?
Well, you have a lot of the founding fathers were very clear that their intent was that the militia was all able-bodied males. Others said all citizenry. Anyone, any citizen capable of bearing arms is the militia.
Right.
Others said it was, you know, men between 15 to 50.
Right.
Yeah, and it varied depending on, you know, the various different opinions. But these are opinions just like men have opinions. But it also lets us know what their original intent was. Their original intent was never for them to have a government controlled army, standing army.
Right, military.
A lot of them spoke out against having a standing army. There was the bane of a free society. Because of the danger that it poses.
Right. And something that occurred during the what we're kind of referring to as the Antifa standoff there in Coeur d'Alene and in Sandpoint was when we were there and everybody was so peaceful and so heavily armed and happy and, you know, cordial and everybody was thanking everyone that was there to protect both cities.
Tourists from out of town were thanking the people. They said, we feel so safe here.
That's right.
The police said they felt so safe there.
And they were thanking us as well. They're saying, yes, let us just be the first line of defense and you guys can be backup if we should so need it, right? And so, of course, everybody agreed. Absolutely, you bet, you know?
Right.
And so the interesting thing that happened there, though, was I was really intrigued by the people that just showed up that were not part of any militia at all.
Right.
Ranchers, you and I actually spoke to a couple different people that just owned ranches, and they just, you know, they didn't like what was happening, and they just showed up to do their civic duty, basically,
right.
You know, and help out and protect what they felt they valued, you know, so.
Yeah. And, you know, here's the thing. So they're, that's not a very well-regulated militia right there, right? They're not trained. They're not organized. There's no established chain of command. And there were some people that expressed some concerns about that.
Right.
I heard from several people, that patriots, they said, well, I appreciate the sentiment and the, you know, boy, we all need to band together. But there's like all these people with various different levels of training. I was just really concerned about an accidental discharge going off down there. And that's all we need because the press getting a hold of that. And no, these are valid thoughts. But look, we're talking about communist revolutionaries who were planning to come to the city. And we've seen what they're doing in cities.
Right.
All right. And somebody's expressing concern that, well, you just don't know the level of training of everyone down there. And what if there was an accidental discharge?
I'm sorry, but the people that showed up there first with the Antifa and BLM, those people are not trained. Those people are just haphazard. They're going off like cannons. And I don't think that, you know, it's correct to try to correct us when we're going there with civil intention, right, against a group of people that is going there to do harm. At that level, you kind of just go, well, we're just backup. We're going to be backup. And
right.
And we're here to help the police force if they need it. And you know, that's how it goes. Most of the time, if you've got a large standing of support that will be behind your police force or your sheriff or whatever, that's a huge deterrent right there.
Right.
Nobody's going to walk into something like that.
Well, it's like some people that have an issue with President Trump. They don't like the way he talks. They don't like the way he comes across as being brash, or, you know, and so you have to say, well, what do you prefer, that Hillary won?
Right. Exactly.
You know, and so when communist revolutionaries are claiming, and there's supporting intelligence showing that they're on their way to your community, and the entire community rolls out armed to the teeth, armed to the hilt, ready to back the police, and
that's
your
right.
hang up is, well, I don't know how well some of these people are trained here.
Right. Yeah. Because, you know,
that's not one of your problems right now.
Where's their requirement for the people that are showing up to do harm to be
right.
highly trained? Where's that requirement? It's not.
Well,
it's the fact that they're just going to show up randomly and be a problem. And so
and it successfully served as the deterrent that it was intended to.
That's right.
And there wasn't an accidental discharge. Nobody did anything stupid.
Nope.
The citizens rolled up. Now, could that have happened? Yes. But you know what? Considering what you're up against.
Yeah.
If you have an invading army coming towards your town.
And they're known for burning buildings and destroying businesses.
Right. The biggest thing that you have angst over is a citizen who might have his finger on the trigger or, you know, waving his weapon around. And there were a couple instances where that did happen. They were quickly confronted and corrected.
Well, and the thing is, too, we're talking about the Second Amendment. We're not talking about we have guns so that we have the right to go hunting. That's not what that's about.
That's right.
The Second Amendment is here to defend our government defend our existing form of government from any invading armies or, you know, domestic
to
threat.
Defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic. And so... So, you know, that is why we're armed. That is the true reason behind why the Second Amendment exists, is to make sure that we are able to keep our form of government.
Well, and also, I can tell you from being, you know, involved with several different disasters or emergency-type situations, in that kind of a situation, if it had escalated, I'm absolutely confident in saying this in my mind, that leadership would have risen to the occasion. There were militia, there were 3% groups, there were also veterans there were unaffiliated groups. There was definitely some strong leadership type of personalities down there with experience.
Right.
I mean, they've been to Iraq, they've been to Afghanistan, they understand. So people who do not have that kind of experience very quickly would have said, tell me what to do.
Yep, that's right.
You know, that leadership, that organization, that ad hoc organization would have quickly gelled, come together. I know I've seen situations that were just very fluid, very rapidly unfolding.
Yep, I
that,
agree.
you get some veterans saying, hey, you, I need some guys over here. I need you. Okay.
That's right.
What do I do? Tell me what. You stand right here on this corner, all right, and you watch down that direction there, right? And right. You know, if you see somebody throwing a Molotov cocktail, drop them. Right. Okay. Great. I got my marching orders, and then the next guy is set up. This is what you need to do, and so those type of things quickly fall into place. And you do have leadership that are saying, keep your finger off that trigger.
Yeah.
Keep your finger off that trigger. Okay. Unless you absolutely have to use that weapon. So.
But standing there in such a huge show of force meant nothing happened to begin with. You know, I mean, people that came to scout those areas and check out what exactly was going on BLM. That were from Antifa.
Yep.
They came and checked it out and they turned around and they went back. They're like, we're not going down there. That's like, that'd be like a suicide mission, you know? And so they're not going to. And so if there's a huge force, a huge peaceful force standing there, that is such a huge deterrent that I just, you know, I think it was very effective.
It was really effective. Hey, you know what? We're running a little bit long. Let's take a quick break right now and just come back. We'll finish wrapping this up. We'll move on into the Third Amendment, which is not going to take a whole lot of time.
No.
It's not very controversial. So.
That's right.
But that's okay. So, all right. You are listening to the Voice of the American Redoubt. Stay right there. We'll be back in just a minute with the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty.
Lenin put it this way: it does not matter if 3/4 of mankind is destroyed. All that counts is that the last quarter is communist. Lenin spoke, communist world domination.
Hi everyone, John Jacob Schmidt here. On behalf of myself and Lady Liberty, we thank you all for the opportunity to expand our reach and for requesting to have us on the radio daily. Unfortunately, with the exciting growth also comes growing costs. If you have a business, organization, or other enterprise, and you'd like to help us get your name out there by partnering with us and helping us to offset some of our production costs, contact us at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com to find out how. Again, that's johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. Good morning and welcome back from the break. This is the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Segment 2 is actually this whole Morning Commute this morning is brought to you by Prepping 2.0. The website is prepping2-0.com, and that's Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher, husband and wife and authors of dystopian novels, preparedness novels, the 299 Days book series, and the A Great State book series with the 3 books and out in that series. Check them out, prepping2-0.com. All right, Lady Liberty. We've got this runaway conversation going on right now about the Second Amendment.
I know, and it is so intriguing. I just love the subject matter. So
I know, I'm talking super fast because I'm so excited. All right, let me just slow down.
It's only 7 in the morning.
I know. But the coffee is kicking in.
There you go. Thank goodness.
Okay, so we had a very successful example of armed citizenry in defense of their communities, in support of the local. Wasn't it anti-government thing? It was to support the local police because we stand by our police so long as they're acting lawfully.
That's right.
And in accordance with the Constitution. We value them. We also want them to be held accountable when they cross the line and they act unlawfully, just like anyone else. They need to be held accountable. That's where we stand.
Yep.
And absolutely opposed to defunding the police. That's ludicrous. That's not even rational thinking. That's just
no. Exactly. I mean, who would you call? Who would you call when you needed somebody?
You call the Sharia police if you're in Minneapolis.
I'm sorry. That's utter mindlessness.
Right. Yep.
As far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's what we're up against. Utter mindlessness. But if you look across the border in Spokane, where they, the three percenters and militias and other groups showed up and offered their support, they were sent home by Spokane police and the sheriff's department saying, we don't need you. Go home. You're just going to make things worse. And they had five, six city blocks blocked off with clouds of tear gas.
Yep.
Floating. There was no tourists sitting peacefully eating, having their meal and drinking and enjoying a summer evening with armed personnel standing just a few feet away, peacefully going on about their business. Nope, it was chaos.
Yep, that's right. So it's too bad that we didn't have the same thing happening on both sides of that state divide, you know? Yeah. So,
well, there's some weasels trying to come in from out of town that are trying to prompt. They tried this with Sandpoint, Idaho. They got smacked down there. But this group from back east is trying to approach the Coeur d'Alene city now, the mayor and the city council, saying, you know, these militias, they're acting actually illegal.
And, right, which shows where this impetus and drive is coming from. Yep. It's not coming from locally.
Nope.
This is from a long ways away and people with a totally different agenda aimed at our area.
Absolutely. And there's a reason why they're aimed at our area.
That's right.
Okay, so Lady Liberty, help us understand a little bit of the Third Amendment to the United States Constitution.
Okay. So the Third Amendment reads, no soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. And that was ratified also December 15th, 1791. And some people have even asked, why was the Third Amendment added to the Constitution in the first place? And so the Founding Fathers chose to add it to the Constitution because it actually was a big problem at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Before and during the Revolutionary War, the British passed laws called Quartering Acts that allowed their soldiers to take over the homes of the American colonists. And so the first Quartering Act was passed by the British Parliament in 1769. It said that the American colonies must pay for the British soldiers that were protecting the colonies. It also said that if British soldiers needed a place to stay, they could freely stay in the barns, stables, inns, and alehouses of the colonists. So it was at all of their expense, and apparently great expense after a while. So
yeah.
The second Quartering Act was passed in 1774, and it was much worse. It allowed for British troops to stay wherever they wanted, including the colonists' homes. This was considered a major violation of privacy and really made the colonists mad. It was part of what the colonists called the intolerable acts of the British government that pushed the colonies toward war. And so the practice continued during the Revolutionary War when British soldiers could take over the home of a colonist and demand housing and food. And then after the war, the colonists wanted to make sure that the new government could not do this again by adding the Third Amendment to the Constitution. So
there we go.
So in fact, it says that Patrick Henry said that the quartering of soldiers was one of the principal reasons for dissolving the connection with Great Britain.
Hmm. Yeah, the I pulled this up from the constitutioncenter.org. They said the colonists were required to furnish provisions and necessities for the troops, including firewood, bedding, and beer.
And beer.
Give us beer and some firewood. Oh, it's cold. Dear.
Well, at least the British like their beer warm, right?
That's a good thing, huh? Yeah, so, yeah, putting an end to that. It is not a controversial, it's not something that we deal with today. Matter of fact, according to my research, there's not ever even been a challenge to it. It's never been ruled on by the Supreme Court or anything else.
Yeah,
it's just
nothing,
basically a non-issue
like
for
that.
Today.
It does stand as more of kind of like a support for property rights, you know, saying giving the rights of the homeowner jurisdiction.
Right.
You know, so that's more or less all it's really even kind of good for these days.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you know, if there were some type of a Hurricane Katrina or something like that, you know, there people are very generous. Some people will open up a shop or a building or their, you know, the parking area from, you know, because they have a trucking company and they want to, you know, hey, National Guard guys, you know, if you need a place, set up here, right?
Right.
But they were not looked up to as heroes back then, and we're hopeful that our military today will. Actually follow the Constitution. They'll follow their oaths.
Right.
They'll not be used for forcibly relocating citizenry or disarming them or mandating vaccines.
Right.
You know, we don't know what's right now. We look up to our military. It's our brothers and sisters, our daughters. But the Civil War pitted, and even the Revolutionary War pitted, brothers and friends against each other.
Right. Now, there was an action that occurred in Spokane several years ago. Oh, my gosh. Let me think. It must have been 2010, where we all attended something put on by a group that had just conducted LIDAR scanning across our whole region, apparently.
Yeah.
And this LIDAR is, I believe it's laser scanning across the landscape, where they're able to get like a more or less a blueprint of every building and house in the whole area. And so we went to this meeting to ask why. We wanted to know, why on earth did you guys just do that?
Right.
And this Third Amendment could actually come into play again, because this was a sustainable development action that took place with this LIDAR scanning.
Wow.
And so you never know. This might come in handy, and it's nice for people to know.
Yeah, especially when you're going back to the original intent of a law. Yeah, violating people's privacy.
Yep, that's right.
That clearly is. And, you know, you're looking at Fourth Amendment issues and all kinds of that's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow morning.
Right.
That's a lot, actually. We might have to break that down in a little part so it doesn't just become the whole, well, it's a Constitution radio show, right?
That's right.
But there's a lot involved with that. But anyway, we've got a lot of stuff to cover this week. It's going to be, it's really amazing. But we are out of time. So you guys just have a blessed rest of the day. God bless you all. And thank you for being out there. Thank you for your prayers and your support.
That's right. Blessings to everyone out there. Have a great day.